from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Of, you know, processing the breakup. Mm. I mean, you've been through a few of those. Who can forget?
I would say very few.
Right. Well, the most famous one was Kiba.
That just was never really together.
Gotcha.
Not in any kind of serious way.
Right.
And again, you're going to stop bringing up her name on this show.
But I'm saying because, that's the most famous.
Listen.
One.
I've unfollowed her on Facebook.
Oh, damn.
You understand?
I did not know that.
She's married with kids. I'm married with kids.
That's true.
And that's the way God intended it.
You didn't have to unfollow her,
so
though.
Why do I need to keep up?
You didn't have to unfollow her unless you were tempted by
it. I don't need to keep up. You don't need to keep up with me. God chose different. Kiva is
gone. Well, it sounds like
gone.
You chose different.
No, Kiva is gone.
I mean, don't put this on.
So you keep bringing that up.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't do what Gary, and I think you've appreciated. Over the years, Gary used to beat you over the head with old Cookie. See, I don't do that to you.
Yeah.
And I think you've appreciated that I haven't done. And yet you come on here and reverse
it. Past life.
You flip the script. And you love to bring up Kiva every chance you get. Kiva Banks. You do.
I didn't know her last name.
But she's no longer that anymore because she's married.
Okay, right. So
and we are grown now.
Wasn't her name Retia Coolum?
No, that was
the injury that Porzingis had.
But I forgot the name.
That was also one of Jason's classmates in 95.
Retia Coolum.
Retina Culum at White
Retina
Station.
Culum, yeah.
She went to Roselle with me.
She was at Roselle? Okay.
Yeah.
Not White Station.
Yeah, no, but
Retina Culum.
No, that's so funny, bro, because you could just see it. You could just see it.
That's right.
Retina, also an injury name.
Retina Culum is absolutely.
I did have a crush on Retina.
Yeah.
Yeah, who didn't?
Like, that was 100% a fifth grader somewhere, bro. Like,
you got to come back to the NFL, John. You got to come back to the Bengals and the NFL.
Yeah, no, I remember when I was at White Station, the one I remember the most was Taronica. I remember Taronica as a more exotic name, right? Mm-hmm.
Taronica?
Yeah, Taronica. And Taronica was cool as a fan, you know?
Yeah.
But at White Station?
Cool with the white boys.
That was White Station Middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it was Shady Grove, one of the two. But I had never heard Taronica before. You know, and I think
original.
I think that was a combination of mom and dad. That would be my guess, right?
Yeah, of course.
Veronica, mom, and then something.
Terry.
Yeah, Terry.
Terry Johnson, as campaign would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I'm saying. We get Taronica, Retina, you know, you can kind of see that it's going to be close.
And when you have a name like Joe, you apparently feel like you got to soup things up. You got to fancy things up because it's such a normal name.
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of next season, as we look ahead, Joe would probably be at the top of my list for guys that I think might win MVP.
Well, let me ask you a question.
It's time.
How would you and Joe feel about the fact that the Athletic has you 14 at the power rankings, just one spot ahead of the Chicago Bears at 15. How would you feel, Joe, about that? Would you be offended?
Yes.
That you're 14 and the Bears, who didn't make the playoffs last year, are 15?
Yeah,
for Is that
sure.
the right place for your Cincinnati Bengals?
No.
Who you say may have an MVP?
No.
Under center?
Absolutely not.
14 seems a little low for the Bengals, does it not?
It is.
Looking at the athletic, this is the first set of power rankings.
The defense might take a little bit of a step back, but, I mean, this offense, with this offense and this quarterback, there's no world where the Cincinnati Bengals are not a top 10 team in the NFL. Everybody's healthy.
I would ask you this. Has Houston surpassed them, or are we just sort of is this a recency bias?
There's some recency bias.
Because because of the AFC teams that people expect to challenge the Kansas City Chiefs, it seems like Houston's the top pick. And again, this is the Athletic and their power rankings. Of course, they've got the Chiefs first, Niners second, Lions third, and then their second best team in the AFC is the Houston Texans at fourth. I have an issue with that. That was a great year by C.J. Stroud. I don't think they're there yet.
I don't think so.
And especially when you look at where Cincinnati is and some of these other teams, they've still got that. They've got the Cleveland Browns six. You know,
Again,
they've got Baltimore's five, so they've got three, four, five other teams in the AFC ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals, including the Buffalo Bills at number nine.
Right. No,
I'm not sure that's right.
I'm not sure the Bills should be ahead of the Bengals. I'm not sure that the Texans – the Texans definitely should not be ahead of the Bengals. I mean, the Bengals were 9-8 last year without Burrow.
Two more AFC teams ahead of the Bengals, 12 Miami, 13 Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand the argument for the Jets, actually, but the Dolphins definitely not.
Well, the USA Today picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a popular choice because of the, you know, of the Aaron Rodgers hype for sure. But, yeah, that's very, very – and that's not in line, by the way, with the betting markets, just as a metric. In no way, shape, or form are the Bengals 14th in the NFL in terms of Super Bowl odds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'll pull it up for you. We'll just use Caesars as a guide here. They have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th, 6th best odds. They're tied for 6th best odds. Excuse me, 5th best odds. 5th best odds to win the Super Bowl are the Cincinnati Bengals. Tied for 5th with the Eagles and the Texans. So
I thought it stuck out. I thought
that's
way too low on the Bengals.
Comfortably ahead of the Jets. Comfortably ahead of the Bills. Comfortably ahead of the Dolphins. Comfortably ahead of the Chargers and the Browns. Comfortably ahead of the Bears. Your Bears, for example, the Bears are 40-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're not winning Super Bowls. The key for us is just trying to see if we can be a player.
I bet an exacta. We had a free bet, and I bet an exacta, which is. This is 90-1, 60 pays, 5,400. Eagles over the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Possible. I think that's a very possible game. If I'm getting health from Burrow, you know, I'm high on the Eagles this year. I am. Especially with a week.
You're going to need health from Saquon as well.
Yeah, for sure.
To keep the pressure off Hurts.
Yes. But damn, I mean, you know, the Cowboys offensive line, much worse. Giants are a mess. Commanders are a mess. I mean, who am I really – I mean, the only team I'm really worried about is the 49ers. I've already beaten them, you know? So, I don't know. I think it could happen. I think it's very possible. And then logic applies in the AFC. Like, I think the biggest competition for Burrow is probably in his division as opposed to Mahomes. I think if he sees Mahomes, he elevates to another level. I mean, they were right there in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago, if not for that stupid penalty, right?
Yeah, but their offense is going to get a lot better.
Kansas City, I mean, you think it has room to get better, man?
Yes, because you are putting now a Tyreek Hill type back in it, something they haven't had the last couple of years, and it's made their offense less explosive.
Yeah.
Because you're having to get it done with pedestrian receivers. Xavier Worthy is that dude.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to – and he won't be Tyreek.
Right.
But they will put him in that role, and Patrick Mahomes will force him to shine.
Right. Well, that's true. He looks great.
So it's just a component to their offense they have not had the last couple of years. And again, I would tell you the defense was their MVP last year.
Mm-hmm.
That offense had you know, regressed so much. It's going back up. Maybe defense falls off because they lost the who's my guy? They got Chris Jones back, but they lost a Snead.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that defense takes a little bit of a hit, and it's frankly they're due. They should be allowed to put a little bit of pressure back on that offense. So I think KC could really do it.
Right.
They could really win this three in a row.
They could. I mean, it's. I don't rule it out. They are
because I think they will be better. Certainly, offensively,
they are the favorite. That's the thing. So, anyway, yeah, Burrow new haircut, and hopefully he'll last the full year. Right? That's what you're banking on.
I guess you don't care about the Raiders ranking in the in the power rating.
No, I don't care about I don't care nothing about the Raiders. It disgusts me, bro. The most excited I've been about the Raiders is that prediction you sent me this morning where they're going 6-11. I did the math. I was like, okay, if everything holds true here, they'll pick like 6th or 7th in the draft.
And what you should get excited about is what Jason Fitz was initially the first. And more I read about what Dak Prescott is going to command on the open market, the more I believe that Jason Fitz might be right.
Yeah.
The Raiders are going to pay Dak Prescott $60-plus million.
Yep.
Dak's going to get 60. And Schefter said today, possibly significantly north of 60.
Yep.
Something we were discussing yesterday. He's going to get it, and he's going to get it from a team like the Raiders.
I mean, he could, bro. I mean, that's very
possible.
He
is not signing with Dallas during this season because he becomes more valuable the moment he hits the market.
Right.
So he will not sign with them. He'd be a fool to.
Yep.
At this point.
Yes.
Especially with the way Jerry's done this.
No, I agree. I think that's...
And he's going to reset the market after your boy Jordan Love does it here in the next few days or
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
But Dak's really going to reset it because he's going to take it up to 60.
And like you said, he's in the open market, so
yes.
You know there might be.
And you and I are trying to discuss, like, there's only a handful of teams that can be in a position to drop everything, what they're doing with their young guy quarterback or whatever else they've got, and offer somebody $60 million. Y'all are going to be one of them.
Yep. Yep.
And maybe the Giants, who at that point I think will have decided we're moving off of Daniel Jones. And, oh, by the way, wouldn't the Giants love – and Tannenbaum talked about them this morning as a possible to go get Dak. Wouldn't they love to get Dak and throw him back at Dallas? I mean, you could see that. And neither you or I think that Daniel Jones is the guy, and they can get off that contract. They've set it up, you know, after this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Dak. I do not believe he will be back to Dallas.
I don't think so either. I think he's ready to move on from that bubble and try something new. And I would love having Dak.
See, that is the future you need to be thinking about, and it's one that's in the near future.
So it could
change things immediately.
There's rookie quarterbacks out here next year, right? I mean, there are some.
There's a lot of teams, though, when you look over the landscape. I don't know where you were going. I think I know where you're going with it, but that have rookie quarterbacks that they won't know yet, and they won't know after just 1 year.
No, that's
true. So they won't be in a position to say, hey, let's dump this guy, because they won't know yet.
They will not know.
And here's the 60 to Dak. It feels like, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 teams that y'all will be battling with to get him, making it, I think, a real possibility.
Absolutely.
Fitz going to end up being a, you know, fortune teller.
Clairvoyant here.
I think he was the first.
He was.
I heard say that.
I never even thought
about
it.
Been reading y'all and everything ever since.
Yep.
Hearing about y'all and the Giants particularly.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back. Frank Bonner going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about Memphis football being picked to win the AAC, his thoughts on the rest of the league, what they're saying down there. What is it, Irving, Texas? Is that where it is? So we'll talk to him from Media Day down there at 125. Stick around. Jason and John on Eternal FM ESPN. All right, so up at DailyMemphian.com, I actually was curious. I wanted to know what the national pulse of the national experts in college basketball happen to be as it relates to this team. We know Memphis lost its momentum last season. 2-year tournament streak was snapped. They went 7-8 in their last 15, lost to Wichita State in the second round of the AAC tournament. They lost David Jones, did bring in multiple Power 5 players, including Tyrese Hunter from Texas, Dave Danger from Illinois, and the AAC Freshman of the Year, who put 27 points on Memphis in their lone meeting. So I asked 5 experts nationally for their opinions on the matter. Is Memphis going dancing next season, or are they not? Want to know what they said?
Sure.
Jeff Goodman says, I don't have any faith that they make the tournament.
Okay, well, somebody's going to win the AAC, so he's picking UAB.
He said, I don't. I mean, they should. There's no reason they shouldn't win a mid-major league, but I don't know. It's a flip of a coin with them and UAB and USF. I would say no. So that's a no from Jeff Goodman.
USF? Thought you said they got ravaged.
They did. Jeff Goodman is just guessing on that one.
It's UAB or Memphis.
But it's UAB
and
Memphis.
He's picking UAB.
Gary Parrish, CBSSports.com, formerly of 92.9, now of Grind City Media. I think Memphis is a borderline at-large candidate, somewhere between 40th and 50th in the country on paper. The loss of David Jones was a real blow, but the AAC is so bad now relative to what it used to be that I don't think the Tigers will even need to be a top 50 team to be the best in the AAC. Point being that even if they're slightly disappointing, they should still be the best team in their conference and thus the favorite to win the league's automatic bid. So one way or another, yes, I think Memphis will be in the 2025 NCAA tournament. Anything less would be disappointing undeniably. So that's a yes from GP. We're 1-1.
Franco, where I am.
Jeff Borzello, ESPN.
You did get some experts.
I think they get in. And I think it'll be the Tigers and UAB battling at the top of the standings. The loss of David Jones was significant, but Tyrese Hunter will be one of the best players in the league from day one, if not the best. PJ Haggerty and Kobe Rodgers are proven players in the AAC, and Dane Danger can be dominant if he can stay on the floor. There are always questions about whether it will all come together for Memphis, but with South Florida losing some pieces and FAU entering a rebuild with a new coach, albeit with a talented roster, it's hard to see the Tigers finishing lower than second. So that's a yes. 2-1. Rob Doster.
Oh, Mr. D-Man.
Rob Doster.
D's for Doster.
It's Memphis. They should be a tournament team every year. Losing David Jones hurts, but with their transfer class and the AAC wide open again, there are no excuses. I'm going to say that's a yes, although it was not necessarily clear to me.
We know how he feels. Give us a D for the offseason.
So
work.
That's 3-1.
Great.
Yes on Memphis.
So even with a D, we're going to make the tournament.
Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated. I do think Memphis will get back to the NCAA tournament next season. This wasn't a great offseason for Penny Hardaway and company given David Jones' decision to turn pro, but the Tigers did enough by adding a pair of proven guards in Tyrese Hunter and PJ Haggerty, as well as a stable of proven bigs. This is the most talented roster in the American and a group with enough talent that it should clearly be an at-large level team. If it isn't, that's an indictment on Hardaway and his ability to mesh new pieces together in the portal era. So that's a yes. So
80% of those polled.
I talked to five. I mean, if there's another sort of respected college basketball national guy, I'd love to know who I missed. But 4-1, yes, for Memphis.
I heard Bart Torvik said they're going to be a 4 seed.
Yeah, he's all about them.
Okay.
So are you a little surprised that it was this sort of, it wasn't unanimous, but there
no,
was.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And frankly, this is where I've been, and it's more reason for you to calm down.
Well, it's not where
because
I am.
I feel like we know. I feel like you've been a little bit, too picky about what's come in. And particularly, and yes, we're all going to dock them for losing David Jones, mm-hmm. especially when you go around as confident as you were that you're going to be able to get him back. But in terms of what they've brought in, it looks good on paper. It did last year, too. The AAC is weak, as Gary has pointed out. You almost have to win it by default. And I just know that the alternative is basically unacceptable. Like I've said, if Penny Hardaway doesn't make the tournament next year, he may as well decide himself, you know what, I don't need this.
Don't do that.
You know, we can sit up here and say, I think at that point, you're not the right guy. You know, especially for how frustrated you've been.
Yeah.
By sort of how your work has been received.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope he recognizes that. And again, the relationship between Memphis and Penny is so important, even in the future when he's not the coach, just as a donor, still a supporter of the program and all of that. But that's, I go back to the point, not making the tournament, it's unacceptable.
Right.
And so for all of those reasons, and clearly, you know, Penny's frustrated, but he's clearly worked hard with Stansberry and this NIL to get this roster together. There is no failing. There is no not making the tournament. Otherwise, there needs to be a new man at the front of it. And we've sort of set a version of that they have to make the tournament next year. Because, again, I'd ask you, if you don't, how do you get excited about the future?
Mm-hmm.
How do you sell it then? And I would just go back to Penny and ask him, is it worth it for you personally?
Yeah.
Especially when you feel like you're being attacked for the job that you're doing. You know, you don't feel like, you know, as opposed to recognizing that it just hasn't been good enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so that's, dude, they have to make the tournament this year.
No question.
It's like you said, it's as critical as Memphis football cashing in
exactly.
on the opportunity that it has. And it has to win the AAC this year.
And so we're going to talk to Frank Bonner about that very thing.
All right.
About the expectations that accompany the being picked to be the favorite. That's the way it goes. Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian. When we get back, Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Frank Bonner,
covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian, and he's down there in Texas at the AAC Media Day, where earlier today, for the first time in program history, Memphis was picked by the media in the preseason poll as the favorite in the AAC. He joins us now. Frank, obviously Ryan Silverfield has sort of downplayed the selection here, saying that it doesn't mean a damn thing, but doesn't it actually mean the opposite? Doesn't it actually mean everything for this program, considering that it's never actually happened before today?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, no coach in the country is going to sit here and tell you how much being voted in number one in the preseason poll means or whatever. Every coach in the country downplays it. But, I mean, the reality is that, you know, this is specifically with Ryan Silverfield, we know how the conversation around him was a couple years ago when they were going through the 6-6 seasons and all that. But then you look and he's got Memphis as the number one preseason, favorite in the conference. I think it's a huge deal for Ryan's tenure in terms of him being able to say that this is where I've got the program going. And then to your question about this, the program in whole, I mean, that 2019 season, people are kind of wanting to see that. And this is the year where a lot of the attention is looking at Memphis to where they can kind of get back to that Cotton Bowl era that they were in 2019.
Know how Ryan is sort of talking about the expectations. How about the players, Frank, in terms of the ones you've talked to, both at Media Days and this offseason? How are they sort of embracing these increased expectations? I think even in the offseason, we knew Memphis very likely going to be the preseason pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think today was any surprise to anybody surrounding the conference, Memphis included. And one of the things that I talked to them about is the implications of this also include the college football playoffs. Yes. And what that means for the American. And what they said, Chandler and said both, is that we can't even talk about the college football playoff until we handle business in the conference. And so they know that the conference championship comes first. And talking to Seth, I mean, Seth is locked in. I mean, he alluded to the fact that this is his last season. This is his last shot. He knows it. He said it. I know what the implications for the program means if we can do what we're supposed to do. I mean, they're not focused on it, but they'd be lying if they didn't say that they know it's in the back of their head.
And that's part of it, right? There, when you get that sort of projection, it's great. It's recognition. It's a marker of all the things that are possible. But there's also implications, right? Like, I feel like most years, other than, almost every year for Memphis football, it's been a free roll. It's like, hey, if Memphis goes out there and they win their league and they make the top 25 and they play in a New Year's Day bowl, like they were never expected to do that, that's a huge bonus. And if it's not that, and if it's, an 8-win season, well, that's fine too. That's where they're probably supposed to be. And this year, you can't really say that. This year, if they end up 8-4, that's going to be considered a failure, or at the very least a major disappointment with the roster. So how do you think Memphis as a program is equipped to handle that piece of this, where 8-4 historically for this program, good enough? In 2024, not close.
Yeah, I don't, to your point, I don't think that nobody would be looking at an 8-4 season and trying to give out consolation prizes in any form or fashion, right? I mean, Memphis has said, Ryan has said in the past that, he wants the expectation. He wants people to look at Memphis and expect them to be great. Well, this year is the year, right? You've got the most experienced quarterback in the conference. You've got all his top weapons back in terms of his receiving core. This is the year that, I mean, the college football playoff aside, there's other things that go into whether they're going to get that or not. But as far as the conference is concerned, they have to be in that championship game at a minimum.
As much as I am subscribed to that 100%, and they have to be there, and I would tell you need to win it. It does feel like this schedule is kind of sneaky tricky, if that's even a phrase, and the fact that the teams that are 2, 3, and 4 behind you. And I, you know, all we've said is, man, this is an AAC. You got to win. You got to play all three of those teams on the road. And we just know historically on the road, you know, it hasn't been a strength for Ryan Silverfield, although improved last year. It just feels like, you know, Frank, to win this conference and to do everything we're saying they've got to do, you know, getting all three of those. I'm even saying, sure, maybe you can lose one, still make the AAC title game, but to make the CFP and everything else, you're going to have to be strong in an area that's historically been tough for you, which is on the road this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. I mean, they have, you know, one of the toughest schedules in the conference with, you know, UTSA, Tulane, South Florida all being on the road. But historically, the road, you know, the road slate has been shaky. But looking at a 5-1 road record last year, I mean, that's what you have to look at, right? Because this is the team that, you know, you know, looking at a year behind you and what they were able to do, that gives you confidence that you can do it. None of the teams under Ryan had seen themselves do that before, mm-hmm. go on the road consistently and win games. Well, once you get over that hump, you feel like you're over it and you can ride that wave a little bit.
Yeah. We're talking to Frank Bonner, covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian. In terms of the rest of the league, do you agree with the order? Do you agree with UTSA 2, Tulane 3? Like, what do you make of sort of the rest of the hierarchy in the AAC? Do you think the media got it right? Where do you think they got it wrong?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to nitpick, I personally, I voted Tulane 2 and had UTSA 3. I had South Florida 4. I had Army down a little bit more than 5. I think I'm a little bit higher on FAU than the rest of the media, it looks like. But for the most part, I mean, the league, honestly, is and it was like this last year, right? It's a top-heavy league. You're really only looking at those top 4 teams in terms of who you think are going to be candidates to win the league. And I think those top 4 teams are spot on. I mean, you can argue whether UTSA or Tulane can be 2 or 3. I had them at 2, but I'm not looking at UTSA at 2 and thinking that that's a shocker.
Frank, we know they're going to be able to throw it around. I mean, when you bring back Seth and Rock alone, you're going to be able to do that. And we've talked a great deal about the off-season addition of Mario Anderson, especially coming from the SEC. I'm curious, Sutton Smith, though, sort of what role do you see for him? He's familiar with this offense, and he's a guy we know with the ball in his hands. You know, it can do a little bit of everything. I'm just curious, how do you sort of see, you know, his role this year, if we're looking at this as Mario Anderson again, like Blake, the lead back, how do you see them sort of deploying Sutton Smith, who's got all the talent in the world?
Well, before I answer your question, I don't think I'm the guy to talk to about Memphis running backs, because I don't think I can get it right. I mean, every time I say a Memphis running back who I think is going to have a breakout, it ends up being somebody else. But to your to your point about Sutton Smith, I think he can. You know, because when you lose a Blake Watson, right, you're not just losing his ground game. You're also losing another receiver. I mean, he was a great receiving back.
Yes.
I think Mario Anderson is obviously going to shoulder that ground game load. And, you know, obviously he'll be a part of the receiving too. But I think Sutton Smith is the one that can really shoulder the receiving part of what you lose in Blake Watson. And I think that might be his place. And obviously as a returner, he's going to, you know, do his thing as a returner. But I think as far as a running back, you can use his skill set as a receiving back if Mario Anderson is going to be your bell cow, so to speak.
Frank, obviously you moved here a few years ago. Did it kind of blow your mind as you know, renovation start for Simmons Bank? Did it kind of blow your mind that like so few upgrades and, you know, things have actually been done to that place, you know, since it was built in the 60s?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. So before coming to Memphis, I was covering Oklahoma State, and I was, you know, in the Big 12 and being in those press boxes and facilities and stuff. And so, yeah, I was taken aback a little bit about the state of the press box in particular. Like when I first got there, like some of the windows hadn't been power washed at that particular time and so on. And they had been power washed since then. But, yeah, I mean, I do think it's time for...
Why didn't you wash it? Why didn't,
that is not Frank's role, fool.
But I'm just saying, I mean, like, just, you know, it takes all of us.
He is coming from the Power 5,
it takes.
I mean, hey, look, man, if I'm the new guy, right, like, I'm not going to be the new guy
out here cleaning somebody else's house. I mean, it should have been one of them seasoned reporters if they were going. If anybody was going to do it,
you're
it should have been one of them.
They should have more of an investment in the thing. I think that
you know you've been around here long enough. You should have got up there.
Put your hands on it. You went to school there, damn it.
I think that's what the Liberty Bowl tried to teach us, right? That it's about teamwork. You know what I'm saying? We have to take care of it ourselves. But no, it's definitely embarrassing. There's no doubt about that. And obviously, it will impact this upcoming season. But based on what you've seen and everything, I mean, obviously, you must feel like it'll be worth the wait when it's all said and done.
Oh yeah, I do, and I'm very interested to see what this Party Plaza is going to look like. I mean, I think that Party Plaza thing is pretty innovative. If it ends up, looking exactly how they say it's going to look and all that, I think that could be a cool deal for fans to just kind of mingle. You know, when you want to get up out of your seat and just kind of stretch your legs a little bit, and you don't necessarily want to go stand in the concession stand, you can mix and mingle at the Party Plaza. I think that'll be a big draw. To the renovations is that Party Plaza itself. I'm curious to see what the press box is going to look like being on the other side and in those suites and all that and all that. So we'll see about that. But I think the Party Plaza is going to be the biggest draw of the whole deal.
Frank, I want to go real quick to the defensive side, which feels like it's so important that you continue sort of, what you pick up where you left off, obviously, with the Liberty Bowl and the win over Iowa State. It was dog awful during the regular season. Chandler Martin's back. We know how much of a stud he is. He's had surgery, hopefully going to be plenty healthy. And then, of course, I've read and read and read, but I don't know to the degree that you do how much of an impact a guy like Elijah Herring is going to be, but I'm certainly expecting him to be the transfer from Tennessee. Other names on that defense that you expect to be anchors on a defense that has to be much improved, obviously.
Well, I think Cormonte Hamilton is a name that comes to mind straight off the back. I think he can be a guy that kind of, in terms of his production on the field, but also in that locker room, he needs to be a guy that kind of fill the shoes of what a Jalen Allen was. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him about that, and yep. He said that he's kind of going into that role, and he said it's going to be a team effort and kind of filling those leadership roles. But, I mean, I think he needs to be the guy for that defensive line for sure. You still have a guy like Greg Rubin, right? We talk a lot about Seth Hennigan and the fact that he started since he was a true freshman in 2021. But Greg Rubin, who was also a part of that class, was a true freshman starter. He's been in that secondary since day one and looks to be playing safety this year. So he's a guy from a leadership standpoint that needs to step up and kind of anchor the defense. And then you've got some transfers. Like, the defensive line is they've brought a lot of guys in that can add depth, but you still got to know who's going to step up. Is it going to be Reggie Grimes from Oklahoma, Patrick Lucas, William Whitlow is a returner. And then as far as the DBs, they've got a slew of transfers. But one guy who I keep bringing up, whose name kind of got lost last year because he got injured in game two, is Davion Ross. When he transferred from Eastern Kentucky 2 years ago, he was an immediate impact, and DB coach Charles Clark was saying that they were planning on using him in a lot of different ways last year, and then they just couldn't because he got hurt. So having him back and healthy, I think, is going to be good for that secondary.
And then last thing, you came over and you covered Oklahoma State, which means that you got to know, or maybe not, but you at least covered him closely in Mike Gundy. Was that how challenging was that? I mean, you see sort of the things that he says. how challenging was that day in and day out covering Mike Gundy?
Mike Gundy was a quote. Honestly, I'll say there are some ideologies and views about Gundy that I don't agree with, and we can talk all day about that. But my actual interactions with him as a reporter, they were fine. I didn't have any bad run-ins with Gundy at all. As far as that's concerned, he always treated me with respect, and that goes. I just have some issues about how he views life in general.
No question. Frank, man, appreciate you doing this in a pinch,
Thank
man.
You, brother.
You're the best. Thanks.
No problem. I'll talk to y'all later.
Yes, sir.
He is Frank Bonner.
Dude, we got to get Glorilla on the show. It's overdue, man.
I agree with that.
I mean, we probably missed our chance.
I was going to say, she's extremely worldly now.
Did you guys see her on the ESPYs? She made a little appearance there.
Yeah.
I blame Jason.
She said, performance instead of athlete.
Yeah.
But she was still great. Even when she messes up, you love her.
It's great.
Yeah, I blame Jason. Jason should have saw that one coming. He didn't. He dropped that off.
I mean, she's, again, it's like like with Snoop Dogg. You know, she's reached a level now of mainstream success.
Yeah, we can get Glorilla
on
the Olympics.
She's on everything.
Now, that'd be funny.
I would rather Glorilla be carrying the torch than Snoop.
Yeah, because she has such a such a Memphis charm about her that is just genuine and impossible not to love. That's the thing about Glorilla. Is like you just spend 5 minutes with her, and it's just infectious, man. Like, she's got that Memphis riz, bro, you know? And the world knows. The world's seen it, you know?
LeBron recognized it early.
Dame Lillard recognized it.
What?
Man, y'all 2000 and late.
What?
Y'all ain't know about that Dame Lillard room? That was like 3 months old.
All right.
Yeah, no, I remember bringing it up with you that Dame's wife didn't like her.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or ex now.
There we have it.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly.
One person who likes coming to Memphis.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was, but that's what it was. Glorilla tweeted about Dame Lillard and asked if he had a wife or something.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But then again, this was months and months ago. And like Dame Lillard was like approached about it by like TMZ. He's like, yeah, love Glorilla. You know, like he was trying to like, it was funny. It was a good time. And then of course they got divorced. Damon Lillard and his wife got divorced. So I don't think it was because of Glorilla, but I mean, that definitely probably didn't help matters if they were on the rocks.
Yeah. Don't want to be a homewrecker. And right. I don't believe Glow was one here.
No, I don't.
So let's not tie those two things together.
But she did tweet that, though. I mean, she did.
I think she saw an opportunity. I think she knew they might have been on the rocks.
She wore a Glow Lillard jersey.
Oh, boy.
So.
And you're letting it be known then.
Yeah.
Who's that little girl who used to come around here and try to be around Chandler Parsons? What was her name? She was
Savannah Chrisley.
That was her. Yeah. What's she doing now?
She spoke at the Republican National Convention.
Come on.
Yes.
There was her, and then there was another.
No, there was like a weirdo actress girl.
Version.
What was that?
Oh,
sorry.
Bella Thorne.
Yeah, Bella. That's the one. She was wacko, bro.
Way a little spicier than
that. That's right. She was nasty girl.
Bella Thorne was the one that I think.
Want to do it in the bathroom type stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Weird, man. Weird.
Debauchery.
Weird time.
Hopefully she's doing better. Changed her life.
I don't think that's happened. But
Morgan and Morgan changed his.
Good luck. Yeah, they sure did. They sure did. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Frank Bonner for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next with Norton Herd. Stick around for Jason. I'm John. We're gone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.